Our time is running out for this session, and I think Brother Steve is already, we're dealing with it, but I think it would help some of us, the difference between supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. Could somebody really make that as clear as possible? Supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving.
I heard a story one time about Harry Ironside. Like, he was praying, and all of a sudden one of the guys came and said, "Oh, you're one of those religious guys, no? Giving thanks for the food." And Dr. Ironside, "Oh, you just like my dog, just dig in. He doesn't give thanks for his food." And also, questions asked, "What do you rather have? A warehouse of bread or a bakery that gives you the pressed bread every day?" "Oh, sure. Every one of us like the pressed bread every day, right? Just like here." You know, giving thanks. We know it's a lot easier. First Thessalonians 5 was quoted this morning. It's a lot easier to memorize, right? Than to practice it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Especially when everything's go wrong in your life, right? But the Lord asks us to give thanks. Because we know Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose.
And 7 days without prayer makes one weak. W-E-A-K.
Well, just for some quick remarks on these words. Yeah. Others may have better definitions, but it seems to me that supplication is asking for a supply. I have a need, a specific need, and I'm supplicating God. I'm asking for God to supply that need. Prayer seems to carry with it an idea of humility within it. So it's speaking to God, but it's an expression of my dependence in some general way. Interceding is praying for someone else. And thanksgiving is a relatively simple word that we're used to. Being thankful, acknowledging that God has answered prayer or provided maybe something that we didn't even know we need, and we're expressing thankfulness for it. I'm sure there are better and more thoughts about that.
I remember in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in prison, remember when James, the brother of John, was killed by the sword, and Peter was taken captive in prison? And it says in verse 5 was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Mm-hmm. So we have intercessory prayer for Peter. Mm-hmm. But if you read on in this story, I think prayer has to encapsulate belief. You have to believe when you pray. It's an essential part of prayer. They did not have belief, because remember when Peter was released from prison? They couldn't believe it. The damsel said, "Peter's outside the gate." She was so excited, she ran back inside to tell him that Peter was released from prison. The Lord delivered him. And they said, "You must be mad, must be a spirit or something else." So prayer requires a belief. Believe when you pray. And that's why I think there's such lack of power in our prayer meetings, because we've gotten to the point where we really don't believe a lot of the times when we pray, expecting God to answer. When He does answer, we're astonished. But He does answer prayer.
Mm. Well, we have that in James chapter 1, right? Mm. I'll read that portion in James chapter 1.
Well, we have an example of intercession and supplication in the two prayers, two parables that the Lord spoke. In Luke 11, our chapter, the Lord speaks a story, tells a story about a man who comes and at midnight, verse 5, and saying to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in a journey, who's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he shall say from within, answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to thee." and so on. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, and so on. Here, he's interceding for his friend. It's on behalf of another. Then we have the woman in Luke 18, we'll take the time to read of it, who comes to the unjust judge. She has a need, and there the idea is supplication. So this is asking for the needs, just what we've been speaking of. Thanksgiving, I think, is just the general designation for prayer. And then thanksgiving, of course, it's always with thanksgiving. It's an important feature of our prayer life is thanksgiving. And Brother Steve mentioned Romans chapter 1, that they became vain in their imaginations, and they gave not thanks to the living God. God gave them up, and the world went into idolatry. Well, the initial moving away from God into idolatry started with an unthankful spirit. But when we come to 2 Timothy, where he speaks of the features of the last days, he says they are without
natural
affection, but also speaks about unthankful. Yeah, unthankful, unholy. So just as we had the initial departure from God in the days, you know, prior, after the flood, so you get now in the last days in what has called itself Christendom, unholiness and unthankfulness.
I wondered also in supplication, it is also, I have thought of it in this way, it is more intense. It is pleading, the thought. Paul, I prayed three times, and so on. But it's we supplicate, we say, his gracious ear. We're waiting urgently. We need an answer. We need help in this way. Prayer, I think that was expressed, that sometimes we use that word prayer for all of these different ones. But I think it simply is the attitude we should always be in, living a life of prayer. And if that is characterizes us, that's fine. It's the communion. We read the word, and as we gain his voice, we hear his voice there, our response is, we answer, we pray, we speak to him about that. Intercession, that brings in others, and needs particularly, I believe, and I need not add anything to the thanksgiving, I think that's very clear, but we need not lack that, we ought not to be thankful in all things, as brethren have pointed out. And in all the circumstances, knowing that God knows best, and he does what is right. So Paul, for example, in his prayer, he received an answer, but not what he looked for. But he says, my grace is sufficient. So it gives us a sense of our dependence, or the sufficiency that it's enough, that he is sufficient. He is able, without answering my prayer. We sometimes pray, and I've heard this many times, and the expressions also. People say, well, once I'm this, and once I've done that, once I've retired, I'm going to serve the Lord. All kinds of plans. Well, I tell you. And then I find out they have some sickness or something comes in that never materializes. That's not what God is looking for, the kind of prayers. We have prayers that, well, I know this is God's will, and now why isn't he allowing this? Something is wrong. It's not happening. So these are all really, it puts us to the test where we are in our spiritual life, in our walk.
And may we say that these four things, that four expressions that we mentioned, we don't want to kind of make them in compartment. I'm praying, I'm supplicating, I'm interceding. It ought to characterize the way we communicate and commune with God. It ought to characterize the way there are times when we'll be interceding on behalf of somebody. There are times, but in every one of them, we should be utilizing the four expressions that are there in our communion with God. We might emphasize one more than the other, it depends on the thing, but in everything we give thanks, even when we are praying. Thanksgiving should be part of that communion with God always and ever again, because we are, as we have heard, the danger again of not giving thanks.
I hate to bring it to an end. I know this is very good. We have a short break right now.